Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 24. Give me a second here. We ran out of Kleenex down there. I forgot we had these back in the back there. And get a new one out. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are again thankful for this beautiful day of life that you give us, dear Lord. Yes, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the unseen hand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you go with us every single day, dear Heavenly Father, and you're with us and guide us and protect us. Dear Lord, you're never a distance at all, dear Lord. And as Brother Danny mentioned also, that we can come to you at any time. Heavenly Father, many times we're restricted at the times we can pray. We get busy. We get just the things of life, dear Lord, take us from a quality time, dear Lord. And we have to bring ourselves and set a day aside, set a time aside, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, wherever we do pray, dear Lord, wherever we do call upon you, dear Lord, you're right there. You invite us. You desire for us to speak to you, dear Heavenly Father, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we're also thankful for the word that we're able to have. We're thankful we're able to get together in the house of God, dear Lord. Many, many years ago, somebody thought it was important that there be a place here in Essex, dear Lord. As Essex started to grow and increase in people and population, dear Heavenly Father, and they wanted a church here, dear Heavenly Father, and they put their time and their money and their efforts and their work to have a congregation here, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, it's come down to our time, dear Lord. And we need to be faithful in that place, dear Lord, to put our time, our money, our efforts, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, that we may have a church here, dear Lord. We're thankful that we're able to have a place to come to study the Word of God, to read the Word, to preach the Word, and have the Spirit of God to accompany that Word, dear Heavenly Father, and to have saints, dear Lord, we can encourage one another and bless one another. So Lord, we appreciate this, dear Lord, and we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, as we look into the Word of God this morning. Lord, we ask you to anoint me, anoint the word that I'll bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Joshua chapter 24, I always like these verses of scripture, very familiar to most of us here, picking up in verse 13, read a little bit of it here. He says, I have given you a land, this is God speaking to Joshua, telling Joshua after they had entered the land of Canaan, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and ye dwelt there in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat? Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father have served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Amen. As I mentioned, this is a time where the children of Israel were in the promised land, the land of Canaan. It appears that things were quiet in a sense as far as wars and things like that. We know that they still continued to have wars, but this is a time of victory. And of course Moses is gone by now, and Joshua is not too long. Next chapter here, Joshua also passes away. But Joshua gathers the people up, and he tries to get them to be in a unity, so to speak, and get them to understand they need to serve God. And he pulls them together, and you see here in verse 13, he tells them about the things that God has done there. In verse 13, we'll read again. He says, God has given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and dwelt in them, and of vineyards and olive yards which you planted, and do you eat. So God was letting him know, and Joshua was letting him know, where you're at today is not anything of your own hand, your own strength, your own ability. It's God's. Amen. And you know, us as saints, I need to probably drink some water. What I need. I found a paper towel or Kleenexes. Thank you. Still have morning voice. So Joshua was letting them know where you're at. You're in a place that you did not inherit yourself or gain yourself. And you know, as saints of God, as we as children of God today, we are the same way. If you're saved this morning, if you're a child of God this morning, and you have peace in your heart and peace in your soul, in one sense, it's not that of yourselves that you did. It's nothing that you worked at to gain it. It's the grace and mercy of God that He's got you in a good land. The land of Canaan is a land that God had promised to Moses, promised to the children of Israel. He desired for them to leave Egyptian bondage, to deliver them from that, and take them right into the land of Canaan, and to have them to live there and dwell there and run all the enemies out of there, and for them to be God's people. That was what his desire. Of course, there was a long period of time before they achieved that goal because of disobedience there. But he says there in verse 13, he tells him, he says, we're living in a land that God has given to us. And in verse 15 is my thought for this morning here. And Joshua asked him, he gets them together, he asked him a question. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, and this is my thought for this morning, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He asks them a question. He presents them with a question. He presents them with a decision. He says, choose you this day. And I thank God that they went on there. And they said in verse 16 that the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. And we know that they, at that time, chose to serve God and serve Him rightfully. After they had been there through a while, still, God gives them a choice. Every day, God gave them a choice. Even though they chose that particular day to serve God, to worship God, to have only one God, He goes back there to gods of the Amorites and gods before the flood that your father served. He goes, I want you to choose today. But even at that day, they had to make that choice every single day. As saints of God, we come to a place we have to choose to serve God. We have to choose to worship God. But that doesn't mean we make one choice one time and that's it for the rest of our lives. Every single day. We were mentioning a little bit tomorrow. Brother Danny mentioned about heaven. The Bible says there is no sun, there is no moon, there is no heat, I don't think there will be tomorrow. There won't be a day and a night like we know today. We can't understand that, but we sort of draw little pictures of those things because that's what we can relate to. But every single day that we live in this earth, we have to make a choice to serve God. Every day. You go to bed tonight, when you wake up tomorrow morning, God gives you that opportunity, that choice to choose. I'm going to walk with the Lord today. I'm going to do my own thing. Yes, sure. I'm going to either serve God, I'm going to worship God, I'm going to be faithful to Him, or I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to serve the enemy, I'm going to worship some other God or some other thing. So every day He gives us that choice. And God gives man a choice to serve Him or to not serve Him. And my main thought here to realizing us, help us to realize that thought, as Joshua says here, choose you this day. God gives you an opportunity. He does not require you to serve Him. He does not make you. He does not force you. He does not, you know, as little children, you take little children by the hand. It always used to be kind of a comical thing. Children don't usually, unless it's in somewhere that's not dangerous, children, you just don't usually let them grab your finger. You grab their hand because you want them to go where you want them to go and you require them, but God doesn't do that. Now, God will help us and hold our hand as long as we allow Him to do that, but He does not force us to choose Him. No soul upon the face of the earth does He force to choose Him, but we have to make that choice every single day. Today, you have to choose Him. Tomorrow, you'll have to choose Him. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this year, 2024, every single day you will have to choose to serve God. Today you've made a choice. You made a choice to stay home or to be in church.
That's true.
You made that choice. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there's one person here that came because they were forced to come.
There's no children here. There's no young people here. There's not one person in this audience this morning that was forced to come to church or made to come to church or paid to come to church or any way in shape or form. You made a choice to be here, and it's a good choice. Amen. It's a good choice to be in the house of God, to sit under the sound of the gospel, to be with the saints and things like that. We made that choice, and every single day God requires us to make a choice to serve Him. Every day you have to make that choice to serve God or not. You know, sometimes people, and there's a teaching, there's many teachings out there. There's a teaching among the land that says, once saved, we're always saved. You know, I've always said that sometimes and entertained that thought a little bit. You know, that to the human, that to the reason of our mind, sounds like a pretty good deal. I come to an altar, I can come somewhere, and they accept, and really, I don't even know if they ask you to repent. You just make a choice to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Maybe they don't even repent. I make a choice to serve that Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. After that, I can do whatever I want. You can keep your finger here, but I'm going to go back in Exodus here. Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32. And verse 32 and 33 here. Exodus 32 and 33. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot my name out. Now, this is when God was angry with the children of Israel. I believe here, I didn't finish all the reading there. I believe when he came down off the mountain with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and God was upset with him, and God was angry with the children of Israel, and Moses is pleading for him. And in verse 32, he says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me out, I pray, out of the book which thou hast written. So Moses is saying to God that God was angry. And God says one time, he says, I'm going to wipe the nation out. He goes, I'll wipe them all out and I'll build a greater nation to you, Moses. And Moses was pleading with God. He goes, Lot, God, if you're going to forgive them, fine. But if you're not going to forgive them for their sins, he goes, Moses says, I want you to blot my name out. Now, Moses had not sinned. Moses had not done anything wrong. But Moses cared for the people in such a great way. He said, Lord, if you're going to blot their name out, blot my name out. And in verse 33 here, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. There's no teaching among our land, or there's no teaching in the Word of God that supports the teaching among our land that once saved, always saved. You have to repent from sin. You have to ask God to forgive you from sin. And He has forgiven you from sin from that day all the way from the time of birth or whatever. But from that day forward, we have to live free from sin. Amen. And I thank God for His mercy and grace. If something happens and we sin and we stumble or fall and we come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, He'll forgive us and repent from that. But stop those things, repent and turn from those things and continue to walk with God. Amen. But He says here to Moses, He says in verse 33, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. You know, it's no reason for God to give us a choice if we can still sin and still go to heaven. Well, I have a choice. But God gives us a choice every day, every single day. And my thought, as I started earlier, I made it, and I had to emphasize it as much. God gives us a choice. Today, you have a choice to serve me or not. Today, you have a choice. Tomorrow, you'll have that same choice. Yes. You'll have, and it's the mercy of God. He gives us that choice. Of all things, God says, I will not make anyone serve me. There is nothing that God cannot do. God cannot change. God cannot rearrange. But He will not take our will from us and make us serve Him. He says, I give you that choice every single day. Are you choosing to serve God? Or are you choosing to serve the world and yourself? From the very beginning, God has given man a choice. When God made this world and made all the trees and the waters and the animals and the night and the day and the moon and the stars and all, and He put two people on this earth, a man and a woman. Adam and Eve. And he put them in the middle of a garden there, and he gave them a choice from the very beginning. He goes, of all the trees of the garden, you can eat freely of, you can partake of those things, you can enjoy those things, but there is one tree in the midst of the garden, do not eat of that tree. It didn't have a fence around it. It didn't have angels guarding it. It was like these four mics sitting up here. They could walk up and eat of this tree. They could walk up and eat of this tree. They could walk up and eat of this tree. Now, I know, I don't believe that that tree was an apple tree. I don't even know if any of the trees in the garden were anything we have today. But I'm just going to use this example. Let's say this was a peach tree, and this was a pear tree, and this was a, I don't know, whatever type of tree. And I can eat of this tree, and I can eat of this tree, and I can eat of that tree, but that tree right there, I am right here. I have the ability to eat of this particular tree. It's not guarded, it's not fenced off or anything. I have a choice to take of this tree. And the same scenario with us in every life, we have a choice of whether we can sin, whether we desire to take of something that's going to offend our walk with God, or we can reject those things. And Eve, she looked upon there and tempted by the enemy of the soul, and he seen that the tree was good for food, and she eventually partook of the tree, and she gave it to her husband, and he did eat also. And they made a choice, and that choice drew a separation between them and God. One choice. And God had to remove them from the garden. And we see, of course, later on in time, we see they had to make sacrifices to have a relationship back with God again. But from the very beginning, man had a choice. I thought about choice today. When I think about the thought of choice this morning, and I'm indicating to you, and that choice, how important is that choice? We will answer and live with the choice we make, good or bad. We will live in this life and in the life after, whether it's good or bad, we will live with that choice. Whether it's good or bad. And if we make good choices, you know, most of us are seasoned adults here. We made some foolish, inexperienced, young, stupid choices. And we paid for it. And it may, I'm not saying some of them were even sin, just sometimes understanding life. And we paid for it, or we suffered for it, and I'm not saying maybe severely suffered, I wish I really wouldn't have done that. And you learn, you know, you learn some things as time goes on. And you learn, if I do this, it's not going to fit me well. It's not going to do well with me in life. Now that's one thing, if we make a mistake, and, you know, getting ourselves in a financial jam or whatever, or whatever it can be, and not sinful things and all, and we learn, look, I'm not going to do that no more because it caused me a lot of heartache or just years of trouble or whatever for that decision, that choice that I made. Well, the same scenario goes with the things of God. I can recognize that there is sin, and if I make a choice to do that, it puts a burden, it puts a separation, it puts God at odds with me. I can feel that longing of Lord, I've displeased you. I've done something that you weren't satisfied with, and I feel that separation. And by the grace of God to come back and repent, or ask God to come and bless me, and that union comes back together, let me tell you what, I don't want to do that anymore. And that may be A sin, but here's over here B sin, totally something else different. And I remember what happened back there, and it's like, you know what, I'm not going to go that route. So as I said, as we get older and we recognize that some choices that I make, that they're going to cause me some heartaches, I'm going to be careful at the choices that I make.
That's true.
Whatever choices we live, we will live with. And some choices that we do, we may live with our whole entire lives. You know, you may do make some choices. You may make some financial choices or whatever, and it may get you may be able to get out of it in 6 months or a year. You may make some. I just blows my mind with how much houses cost today. Yeah. And Linda and I talk about. I think my mom and dad paid $13,000 somewhere in that neck of the woods to have their house built that she lives in now. $500,000, $600,000. I just can't even conceive. I can't even gather that. Now, my first house down in Hawthorne was around $70,000. And that was crazy. $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. But people make bad choices sometimes if they're not financially able to take care of that particular bill, and it will cost them maybe 20, 30, 40 years, maybe their entire lives. Well, that's one thing in the physical part, but the same thing with spiritual. We can make some spiritual decisions, make some spiritual choices that can affect us maybe a couple weeks, a month or so, but could affect us for the entire life that we live on earth. We see that Joshua gave them a choice. And thank God for verse 16, they made a choice to serve God. They made a choice, in a sense, doesn't say a choice, but they said, there. Joshua said, you choose who you serve. They said, God forbid that we serve other gods, that we're going to serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that. We're going to serve that God. But as I mentioned, we know that not too long after that, Joshua dies. And that not too long after that, they made other choices that were not of the choice than that back in that time. They started serving other gods. They started intermixing with other nations. They started doing things that they were not supposed to be doing according to what God asked them. And they forsook their choice that God or that Joshua had asked them to do. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and thy seed may live. What are we choosing today? God says, I set before you blessings and cursing, life and death. You know, we make good choices in life, in the human aspect and in the spiritual aspect, there's blessings. One of the greatest blessings is peace. When I start serving God and I start obeying God and I start making good choices to God, I have peace here. I know out there, Jesus said one time he prayed to the Father. He says, Lord, he says, Father, I don't pray that you keep him from the world, but I pray that you keep him from the evil world. I thank God we can have peace in our soul, peace in our mind, have contentment in this life. The world's going to, there's going to be turmoil. Our families are going to cause us turmoil. Our jobs, our community, everything around us is going to cause us turmoil. But thank God we can have peace in our soul. We can have a blessing. We can have a comfort in our minds. And he says there, choose this day. He goes, I put before you two things here. He mentions, he goes, I put before you blessings and cursings. I mentioned a little bit of girl as we get older and we make choices in life and sometimes we pay for them and they cause us heartaches. I'm amazed at people, not talking about young people. I'm amazed at people that are well in their age. They make choices that they've made before that have caused them heartache, and they're still doing the same thing. I'm like, what are you doing? Didn't you learn? You went through this before. Didn't you learn? But because they don't have the mind of God, they don't have the blessings of the Lord, they still continue to make wrong choices. So he says, I give you blessings or cursings, depending on the choices they make. I set before you life and death. The choice that you're making right now is choosing between life and death. And I'm not talking about this world's life or your physical life of death either. I'm talking eternal life. The Bible says that there is going to be a judgment one day, and you're going to be gathered before him. And he says, if I find your name in the book of life, then well, you'll have received eternal life. But if I do not find your name in the book of life, there's going to be a place and I'm going to cast you into a lake of hell. And he says that is going to be considered the second death. You're choosing that today. Today, every day that you breathe, every day that God gives you a choice, you're choosing life or death. Spiritual life, spiritual death, eternal life, eternal death. Every day we are choosing to spend life in eternity. Brother Davis used to sing a song, and this one of the parts of the song that he used to sing says, I made my choice forever. Have you made that choice? By the grace of God, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to walk this path. That's my choice I made. I thank God I haven't deviated from it. I thank God that today, I say this often, I thank God it's still as strong to me today, even more stronger than it was the day that I bowed at this altar one day. When I bowed and asked God to forgive me and write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that day I was assured that this is a track I was going to take. I didn't think I'm going to do it for a month or a year, a little bit. I was set to the rest of my life. And at 17 years old, I knew. I said, God, if you allow me to live out my years, 70, 80 years, I've got a long way ahead of me. But I didn't intend on doing it just for a trial period. I was intending on doing it for the rest of my life. And here I am down in this part of my life, and my intentions are just as strong, if not even stronger. Lord, I choose. I want to serve you and walk with you. I've made my choice forever. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, picking up in verse 24. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, and whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus says in verse 24, we need to deny ourselves. You need to make a choice to deny your desires that affect your walk with God. That's difficult on this guy, on you. It's difficult on the person. This is the things I like to do. God says, and there again, I often mention this a lot of times because there again, one of the parables of the seed, it says that one of the things, the reason that the seed did not prosper is because of the cares of life. And every one of us can associate and understand that these things may not be sin. Lord, this is what I want to do. It's affecting your walk with the Lord. It's affecting your prayer time. It's affecting your study time. It's affecting your relationship with God. You need to deny those things. Or at least put some of them aside, set some of them, and deny some of the time. I mentioned maybe a week or so ago, you know, there's a lot of times, and some of you may have faced it, there's times where people of the world, there again, nothing is sinful, they want you to be a part of their organization. Be a part, come in and help, and put some time, and put some energy, and put some work, and they may be good causes. Some of them are good causes. And I've faced that before. But, you know, I've had to say, no, I can't do that, because I can see myself putting a lot of time in it, and it will take away from time from the things of God. I have to deny myself some things. I have to, and some people may look at you and think, and really they do, they look at you and think you're a snob. Well, why don't you help us a little bit? Why don't you help us? You'll be a good benefit to us. They don't understand that I have to give my time to God. Jesus says here, you have to deny ourselves. That's a difficult thing. Because every one of us want to do what we want to do. We want to go where we want to go and do it in our time. We want to do our thing. But Jesus says here in this verse here, verse 25, whosoever will save his life. And what that means is, what he means by that is I'm going to do what I want to do in this world.
I'm going to accomplish what I want to do in this world. I'm going to go after the things that I desire in this world. I'm going to do what I want to do. Whosoever will save his life and do those things, you're going to lose it in eternity. You're going to lose it in eternity. And he goes on there, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I'm willing to deny myself to serve God and give him my time. To serve God and give him my efforts, my money, my finances, my work, whatever God requires me to do, I'm willing to do that. And God says, if you forsake your life, if you deny your life, if you make that choice, you shall find your life. There was a man in the Bible named Moses, that many of us know. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 24, speaking of the faith chapter, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, you know the story, was found by Pharaoh's daughter, was taken into the house of Pharaoh and raised as a king, so to speak. He had everything he could desire to want. Anything. I mean, we can only use words that we know. Luxury. Riches. Everything. Everything he wanted. Everything he could have had. A very easy, comfortable, enjoyable life as far as we know of the material thing. But the Bible says here that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. I said to you a little bit ago, Jesus says, whosoever doesn't deny himself for my sake, you'll lose it. That's difficult on us. Moses suffered greatly by making that choice. He goes, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, living for God, we may have to suffer some. And I can't even begin to open up a door of examples. Because there's all kinds of different ways we suffer. Our family may reject us. Now, thank God, we don't seem to have the issue in our time now of jobs. You know, maybe because you're a Christian, you would lose a job or whatever. But, you know, there could be some jobs, and there are some jobs that if you had, you would have to make a choice to find another job. You can't be a bartender and be a Christian. Our day to day, you can't work in one of these dispensaries now, these marijuana dispensaries. Well, I don't use it. You can't do those things. You can't do those things. The Bible tells us to shun the very appearance of evil, not to associate our lives with certain things. We have to deny ourselves. Moses realized his mother was one that kind of raised him in a sense as a blessing to God. But Moses realized, he says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin. Are we suffering for Christ, honey? Because of the choice that we make? If you've been living for the Lord for any period of time, I guarantee you've suffered some way. It may not be, I guarantee it's not to this degree. But because you say you're a Christian, the saints and all, because of how we're dressed, or how we appear, make our appearance in the world. People recognize you, especially with the ladies and things more than anything. The ladies, and I know Linda has told you and me many times how she's been in the store, and people recognize that she's a Christian by the way she dresses. There's standards. Your family. I can remember as a young person, and some things that I rejected as a young person, my mother was not happy with. And as a young person, that was difficult. Still living at home, and those things, they were difficult. Moses made some difficult choices. Verse 26, we didn't read. But verse 26, it says, esteeming the approaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. I brought to you a message a week or two ago about having a vision of the kingdom of God. I believe Moses had a vision of the kingdom of God, esteeming the approaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Well, I like this, but you know what? I'm going to set that aside for the greater treasures of the things of God. I'm going to read to you every once in a while. I'll pull this out, get some different looks at it. This is an amplified version of that particular verse 26. It says, he considered the contempt and abuse and shame. That's what Moses made a choice. He considered the contempt and the abuse and the shame for Christ, the Messiah, to a greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. For he looked forward and away to the reward that was before him. The song says, the old rugged cross. And that old, as I read that the other day, I was studying that, and I read that in the Amplified Version, I thought about that, the old rugged cross. One of the verses in there says, the emblem, which is a sign, the emblem of suffering and shame. And verse 4 in that song says, to the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. We have to make a choice. That old rugged cross. We read there back when Jesus said there, he told the disciples, any man that loses his life for my sake shall save it, and any man that saves his life shall lose it. And he says, I think it read on there, because I didn't make a comment about it, I think it read on there, and Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. The cross is a sign, is a sign of suffering and shame, of reproach. That's what the cross of Christ says. And people do not desire to bring a reproach or shame or suffering on them. I don't like this body to suffer. I'm not even talking about the physical aspect. I don't like this body to suffer among your peers, among your family, among those things. You want to be able to mix right in with them and things. Jesus says there's some things you have to make a choice not to do that. Jesus told Martha one time when he went into their house, Martha and Mary's house, he told Mary, he says, that Martha has chosen a good thing. You chose a good thing to be here this morning.
Amen.
You chose a good thing when it's church time to sit under the sound of the gospel. Martha was upset at Mary there. She says, it goes to Jesus. She says, Martha went to Jesus. She was busy taking care of the guests and getting them maybe something to drink, maybe a snack. And she goes to Jesus. She says, Jesus, she goes, tell Mary to help her. Tell her to help me with the catering of these things. And he says, Martha, you're troubled about a lot of things. But Mary has chosen that best part, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's where we need to be. Lord, help me to make that choice every day. Every day to be at the feet of Christ, to be at your call, to be at the hearers. I know we don't just get up and sit at the feet of Christ in prayer, but Lord, every day allow me to make that choice to serve God. Lord, you say go this way, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to go that way. You say go that way, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to go that way. In Luke 10:42, it says, one thing, as he said there about Martha and Mary, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Thank God for that, saints. Saints, if we live in this world and we make good choices to serve God, that will not be taken away. We'll stand before God at the judgment bar, and that book of records will be there. And it'll be there. It said, I see you made a choice with your family. I made a choice with your job. I made a choice with even yourself. Jesus said one time, except you're willing to forsake your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, and your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, I see you made choices all down through your lives. It will not be forgotten. Inherit the kingdom of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I believe many of you know it. I've read it. I trust you've read it many times. If you haven't, Luke 16, chapter 19 through 31, Jesus gives a parable, or doesn't give a parable. This is a story. This is an actual story of the rich man and Lazarus. Just going to take up a couple verses here, picking up in verse 19. Jesus says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at the gates full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger into the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." I know it doesn't use the word choice or choose anything in his verses, but in verse 25, he says to Abraham, and Abraham is a type of God, he recognizes a God, and Abraham says, "Son, remember." And I'm going to add a word here to it just with the message. He goes, "You made a choice in life. Remember, you made a choice in life." You know, the rich man, no doubt, traveled in and out of his gate. The Bible says that Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring just from the crumbs that fell, just from the waste. You know how I think about us, the Lord help us sometimes. Sometimes people go to buffets or whatever. I think of the food that is just wasted. Probably could feed half of the world in old buffets. But he desired, he says, "Lord," he says, "just from the crumb, just from what you don't want, you're going to throw out. Can I have some of that food?" And he didn't even help him. He didn't even go out. He made a choice. And I've often mentioned this. The rich man may not even have had to associate with Lazarus. He could have seen him and said, "You know what? I needed to bring some people out there, cater to his wounds, give him something to eat, give him some clothes, give him what he needs to get him back on his feet." But he didn't. He chose to do nothing. And it says as time goes on that they were both gone. He made a choice. I don't know how many of you, I was telling Sister Carol about this the other day, heard about that. They actually just finally got that car up that went off the pier at the Virginia Beach. I actually seen the video. I don't know if it was how long ago. There was some girl standing there, and I don't know where she was standing, just as a social media type video. And she's videoing this car going down the pier. It's a pier like Ocean Cities has that goes out over the ocean. And it's a pier on Virginia Beach, and the car's going down there, and he just drives right off the end. Busts through all the gates and drives right off the end. Well, I think they just got it up yesterday or something, the day before. One person was in there. Well, man, I think they said. That's all the details. They don't know any, give any more details as of yet. But I thought to myself, Lord, he made a choice. And he'll have to live with that choice. Remember what I mentioned earlier? We live with the choice that we make. God says you'll make a choice and you'll live with that. You'll make a choice. Every single day we have a choice. There's choices that we make. And those choices will regret whether we live for the Lord or whether we sin or whether we do our own thing. Those choices, when eternity, we will regret for all eternity. He says, "I give you a choice, life and death." And I say, Lord, help us as saints of God and as people of God. We have a choice every single day. And every single day, that choice, the enemy is throwing all kind of darts and tricks and problems and troubles and everything to get us to get off of the track that we're headed on. Hey, we're filled with choices.
You know, I've often mentioned sometimes when we're on the highway, there's always opportunities to get off this exit, that exit, this exit, this exit. And that's the way living for God is. We're on a highway headed to heaven, and there's always, the devil's always saying, why don't you get off this exit, get off that exit, make this exit, get off this exit. But when we're on the highway to the things of hell, when you're on the highway making the choice, you're living for the things of your life, there are no exits to get off until God provides you with one. People think, well, I'll just get off anytime I want. You cannot.
Amen.
You can't. When I get older, when I get, this happens in life, when this takes care of life, this is when I'm going to get saved. You cannot do that. When God gives you an opportunity to get off the highway of destruction, that choice you need to make, and you need to exit, and you need to get on the highway of holiness. Those choices don't come by every day.
Amen.
The song... in our songbook, it's an invitation song. I can remember when I wasn't saved. The song always used to hit home with me. The song's Lost Forever. In verse 4 says, where will you go, poor sinner? How will your soul escape? Think of thy lot when forever cast in a dark burning lake. If then you are lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair. Here's the part of the verse you'll remember that you chose to be there. I always remember singing that song, and I thought, Lord, help me. Help me to make a choice. Today, God's asking you to serve Him, to choose to serve Him. Joshua, as we read at the beginning there, Joshua wrote down, I didn't go back and read all that, but if you continue reading back here in Joshua chapter 24, later on in that chapter, it says he wrote down in the book of the law the choice that they made. He wrote it down. He says, this is a choice that they made. They chose to serve God. He set up a stone there. He set up a monument, a memorial of the choice that they made.
You know, this altar is a good place to get saved. I want to emphasize that. This altar is a good place to start.
Sure.
A lot of people say, well, I'll pray one day at home. And I'm not saying people can't get saved at home. I'm not saying that. God can save, and I've learned you do not put God in a box. God can save you whenever and ever. But you know what? This is a good place. Coming to an altar of prayer.
You know, I can remember when God was dealing with me, and I used to pray at home, and I thought, you know, Lord, can I? But for the reason, this is a good, it's an acknowledgement of why I came. Just like Joshua did. I need you to make a choice. I'm making a choice today to serve God. And this is a place to come back to. I remember, I don't know who it was, ministers used to say, when the devil would battle you and things, you remember, you bring the devil back to this part here. I remember when I got down on my knees and I prayed and I made my choice to serve God. I remember that day. And I was going to get my old Bible out. I have an old Bible back here, and I don't do it in my Bible as much. I have books that I keep records in. As Joshua said, he wrote those down in records, I think, of remembrance and things. And I write things just in my life that things are forgotten things. But I have one of my Bibles, and I wrote down in my Bible, when I got saved, May the 2nd, 1982, I wrote that down. I remembered that day that I bowed on an altar. There was a stone there. There was a memorial there that I remembered. And it is a public altar that other ones remember that were here then. A good place. When's the last time you read your book of remembrance to the congregation of your choice? So what do you mean? When's the last time you know, we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm not saying you do it every time. But it's a good time to say, saints, and you don't have to remember the day or the hour like maybe I did, or the saints, I remember how God saved me. You know, Paul did it many times. He told Felix and him and King Agrippa, he told him how he got saved. He told that different times in the Bible. Several of you here have told your testimony of how God saved you. Brother Danny always makes comment about Brother Long, and we can remember Brother Long's testimony.
How God dealt with him. He was a smoker then. And he took that, I don't know, I forget whether the case of cigarettes, opened up a pack, lit up a cigarette, and he took a breath there. He says, and God, and he couldn't get another breath. God almost like stopped him from breathing. God said, if you don't blow that out and stop that, you won't get another breath. Those type of testimonies, those are stones in our lives that we can go back to the enemy and say, I made my choice to serve God back then. And by the grace of God, I'm going to still continue that choice today by his help. You made a choice? Have you made a choice today to serve God? If you have, keep that choice steady. Keep it faithful. Keep it before the enemy. I'm going to make my choice forever. By the grace of God, may the Lord bless you. That's why I have a song.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 159.
Help us, God. Help us to gain greater faith. See and heal our bodies. See and touch us. To your glory and your praise, dear God. Lord, as we anoint with the Lord, we pray the prayer of faith. Join together as saints, dear Lord, praying for Sister Carol. Lord, we ask you to do a work on her behalf. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless her. Touch her body from this very moment, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as you walk this earth, Lord, you heal people instantly, dear Lord. Dear Father, we just ask you to help our faith and take hold.
Thank you, Lord.
Want me to put the bat for you?